One baby.
Twins could have played here today.
Oh man, I'm seeing those photos from up there. What the heck's going on? What is it, 50 or what? What's the temperature?
Right now it's 61.
Unbelievable. I love it.
Me too.
Fantastic. So as long as it's not in the basement, I'm in good shape. But it's a nice day here.
You're suggesting that the opening day is not early enough? Is that what you're trying to get at?
No.
It's right.
When is opening day at home? April
8th? Yeah, it's a little later this year. They open in Milwaukee on April 1. And then they also go to Detroit before they come home. So it's April 8th. Hopefully we will have a verdict and everyone will be calmed down by then, because it could be that April 8th opening could be Labor Day if things go wrong here. So anyway, that's
and do we know yet how many fans will be allowed in, if any?
No, isn't Walsy supposed to tell us today? About, or it's tomorrow, about sports, right?
Yeah, I thought I read within a couple of days he was going to make an announcement.
Yeah, I bet. I think the Twins asked for 10, hoping they get to 7,500 or something, but they'll get something. And the Wild, the Wild's going to get something here today, I think this week. And the Wolves, if anybody's interested, just so the Wolves have fans in there for March 31st when Tibbs comes back, because we should celebrate Tibbs, the last man to put him in the playoffs when he comes back March 31st. So.
Your paper had a very strange Timberwolves story today on the sports section.
About what?
Who's the guy named Kaz? Isn't there a Timberwolf named Kaz? Kaz is his first name.
Hold on.
I don't know about Kaz. I don't know about I don't know.
I'm going to look it up right now, Joe. I'm going to look up the Timberwolves roster. You're thinking of Naz Reid, I bet.
Naz Reid has been a very good player for him. Turned out to be a better player than I thought. Yeah, what do we say?
So there's this big story about how Naz, whatever the hell his name is. There's this big story.
Naz.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's this big story about how he's an artist and that he uses only a pencil, and that he's been drawing ever since he was taken under the wing of a art teacher in high school or grade school. And I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. And I said, I guess I'll see what he can draw. And I turned to the jump, and we were offered no examples of his drawing.
Yes, we should do that. That's right. And I think in normal times we probably would, but they would have had to send it with a paper airplane or something now to get it to you, right? If you can't get close to them. But yes, it would have. That certainly would have added to the story to see a nice little drawing of maybe a self-portrait or something like
Pat,
that.
Pat, I don't think I'm talking out of school when I tell you this story. The Pioneer Press, which I have not worked at in a year now, but I work from home, is in the Comcast building downtown St. Paul.
Yes.
It's on the south side of the river across the Robert Street Bridge. There's a big Comcast building. And the guy who does my taxes is also in that building. And I arranged yesterday to bring my grocery bag full of stuff to the tax guy, and I couldn't go up there, but they sent somebody down to pick it up. So I'm shooting the breeze with the guy at the front desk who I've gotten to know, and I say, I think I'm going to go up and see what the paper is. Maybe I'm going to pick up some stuff I might have left there. And he says, they're not here anymore.
What?
They're gone. They're gone.
What? You don't have an office? Is there a new office or what?
He said they moved into some small building. I said, where? He said, I think it's on Fillmore Street. So I started driving up and down Fillmore Street yesterday afternoon.
Where's Fillmore?
Outside the Comcast building, headed towards the St. Paul Airport.
Okay.
In the river flats there.
Okay. So you had too much room considering the pandemic, huh?
I didn't find him. I got to call somebody and say, well, do we have a building anymore?
Mm-hmm. Well, remote, I can tell you one thing. I think if Glenn Taylor had his way, he wouldn't have three floors that were extensively remodeled in that building downtown, considering that we have discovered that nobody has to go into work anymore in order to work. So, I think it's actually the Star Tribune building that is handling the media for the trial. They've created a workroom in there, and all the out-of-towners are all working in there.
All I could think of yesterday was, imagine my surprise. There's no building.
Wasn't that the old Breslin line? He went to the office and it was closed. One of the papers that he, and the joint was closed. One of the papers that he'd worked for back in the 40s or late early 50s, the Mirror or one of them was. Yeah. I went to work and the joint was closed. Right. Or
even better, Pat, do you think that someone said, hey, when Suits drops off his taxes, tell him we moved.
We don't have a building anymore. That's a bad sign. But what the hell?
The Wild carved out a nice little game last night.
That was a fun game to watch.
Did the Finlander stand on his head, or did we just play great defense?
Played pretty well, and I've been ripping Parisi so much, I should point out that he was very good last night. Made some plays. Very good.
And I understand, according to Judd, that the last 12 or 14 minutes, Jacques would have been very proud of the way we clogged her up and slowed her down and took away the neutral zone. It was Jacques hockey, from what I understand, trying to guide that 1-0 lead to the finish line. Did they get an empty netter to make it 2-0?
They got a very interesting empty netter. They were awarded a goal on a shot that did not go in the net because I can't remember who shot it.
I
think it was Fiala. He was hooked as he shot it, which caused the puck to miss the net. So I didn't know this. You're awarded a goal in that case in an empty net.
Oh, really? Yeah. So he got them both then, huh? Okay, he scored the first one.
I don't have the sports section in front of me. I should bring it down when I know we're going to do the highly popular Monday Night Sports Talk.
Yes. Well, we had I think this ball game here, we saw the A team. Let me see if they scored a run yet.
Okay, he's raising.
No, it's still 0-0. I've got the game on 0-0 here.
0-0 going into the bottom of the seventh. But there, I would say, you know what I like best about Florida in March, Joe? Wind. Wind. I love the wind, don't you? The Florida wind.
We had a big wind today here. I agree. I love it.
It always blows. And when you watch the golf tournaments from Florida, you get to see the wind and what it does to golf balls and stuff like that. Yeah. And today, I would say we've seen about four Twins homers that the wind prevented. They actually swung the bat fairly well. Cruz hit one 500 feet that blew foul, and Garber hit a ball real good to the outfield. And they hit some balls that sounded like home runs and all came up well short because it was kind of blowing over and across from right to from center to right. So
in Florida golf, we got the Players this weekend. Remember last year after the first round of the Players, they were all told to pack up and go home. And that was the beginning of the end.
That was the start of it. Well, we're right now we're having some debate as to what is the date that so March 11th was when Rudy Gobert tested positive and the NBA late at night shut down. So it's not March 11th. That's not the date. And March 12th, they were still playing like the high school girls basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. And there were still, the Gophers on March 12th got taken off the court before they started their basketball game in the Big Ten tournament, and they shut it down March 12th. There was still some stuff being played. It was either March 12th or March 13th, but we are approaching the one-year anniversary of a sports calendar like we've never seen before.
I thought the Gophers finished their game, Pat, because they...
No, they won their first one and the second one on the 12th.
Oh, okay, that's what it was. Okay, okay.
I just to keep it easy to remember in my mind, I just use St. Patrick's Day because as recently as the night before St. Patrick's Day, I think you could still go to a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. But I was talking about the sports calendar.
Right, right.
But the sports calendar, March 12th, 13th. Because the girls still played on the March 12th, and then they didn't have their championship games on the March 13th, and they shut everything down. Mm-hmm. And, they're trying to get my arms around trying to write something about the 1 year. You can't, because it's too gigantic that, everybody... You know, it's everybody's been affected somehow, and it's just amazing what the last year has been like. And, you know, I don't feel sorry for the Reavers of the world. I feel sorry for the me. Yeah.
For the
75 years old and 1 year of my life wasted, and there ain't that many left, you know. Right. There are not that many left, you know. I didn't want to sit around and argue with my wife for 12 months, you know. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to say I'm going to go do this, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's been a miserable, pretty much a miserable year.
Really quick, it was Jonas Brodin that scored the goal that Joe was talking about in the third period last night.
Well,
he was given credit for it. The puck did not go in the net.
That's true. And Fiala scored the first one.
He'll take a free one whenever he can get it. He's to guard opening night, though. That's when you knew this was going to be an unusual season. Mm-hmm. When Jonas gets one the first month, it's pretty.
Well, they
shocking.
Signed him to a pretty big deal. Didn't they give him a 7-year deal this last offseason, Brodin?
He's a great defensive player.
What are they going to have to give the Commie?
Well, it's too early to worry about it. You got him for 5 years.
Plus, the Commie's in no hurry to sign anything.
That's true.
No, he'll.
He's playing for $995 this year. $995,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I call this team? Team Fenton. Yeah.
Of course you do.
Sure you team would. Fenton. What would they do without Fenton? He got Zuccarelli. He got. He played him. They said they paid him too much, but they got him. They got. He got Fiala. He got rid of all that dead wood. Coyle and Niederreiter and all those stiffs, you know. Fenton, he was an 11-month genius. You don't call it it's not the Fenton era, it's the Fenton weeks, you know, that he had the job. But
it's a hell of a division you're in, too, because you win one and you leapfrog about three teams.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. You know, this whole, we can have fun with the idea of these free hockey points. I think somebody scored.
Polanco just got a hit.
Okay. Oh, that's all. Okay. I got to put this thing up here to see what's going on.
Joe,
just leave it up, Pat?
This is what I miss so much about the old AM 1500 ESPN days was there was nothing better than getaway day Pat doing radio with a 3 o'clock Twins game going on in the background.
What the bleep are they doing? You know?
Oh, it was the best.
Has that thing happened today where a pitcher has 20 pitches, he's yanked?
No, hell, there's no score. It's nothing, bottom of the seventh, which, of course, means the game is over. If nobody scores here, we're done. We're done here. We already told the fans that they're here for seven. Mm-hmm. I found this interesting, and it's certainly old, though. I found this interesting, Joe. Today's lineup. Kepler, Donaldson, Cruz, Polanco hitting fourth, Sano hitting fifth, Garber hitting sixth, Kirilov hitting seventh, and then two guys who aren't going to be regulars, eighth and ninth. But the change in the way lineups are now constructed is amazing. Kepler doesn't have speed. Donaldson and Cruz are two 40-year-old, one base at a time guys hitting second and third. You know, you used to have the fast guy at top and then the guy who could move the runner hitting second. And then you had your, you know, three, four, five guys. It's astounding that they want Donaldson and Cruz second and third because, A, they get an extra at bat hitting there, and, B, they'll get a walk and get you know, more base runners. And then Polanco, he is not exactly your – you know, he'd be more of a leadoff hitter in the old days than a four hitter. It's the old time lineups have nothing to do with what they do today. They slap them together completely different than they.
How's Donaldson's health?
So far, he's been okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's He's not going to strain a calf running to first base, from what I could tell. He hit a ground ball kind of deep to shortstop today and got that nice little gait. And you know, that nice little sort of the Nelly Cruz gait. So you got two guys there that between them, Donaldson and Cruz, they may not get an infield hit all season because they're going slow, and they'd rather do that than pull anything. But right now, Donaldson is hanging in there.
Pat, so, I saw this the other day, and I'm glad that the Twins are playing Baltimore today. Joe, something just happened.
Yeah.
Joe, Baltimore is projected to be one of the worst teams in baseball. Do you guys know what their projected over-under for wins is in 2021?
I don't.
63.
Really?
That's their over-under projection. Twins win 1-0. Hey,
Miguel just doubled in a run. The Twins are still batting, by the way, even though it's 1-0, because they want some guys to – they must want this pitcher to throw more pitches for Baltimore or somebody to get more swings. Maybe they did break it up now, but it looked like they were going to have Miguel still at second base.
Okay.
Miguel – somebody hit Miguel's bat, so congratulations to him.
Is this she a nice day in the fort, Pat?
Yeah, it was a gorgeous day today. Yesterday it was kind of nippy.
Yeah.
All the fellas went out to Mucky Duck, but I wasn't going to take that long trip to Captiva to freeze to death out there, so I did not. It was 60-something and blowing like hell yesterday. So.
Is the DA in the fort?
No. DA is home and happy as I've heard her. And she's just giddy.
Yeah.
She's just giddy. I call her, and she just talks for 10 minutes and tells me about stuff. And we got in a Woody Allen argument a couple of days ago because I'm suggesting that the documentary that's out now is one-sided. And she's going all in on Woody being a complete I'm not denying he was a pervert, but the pedophile part of it I'm still questioning that, because when it first happened, they had experts saying it sounded like the kid was brainwashed. So anyway, that's but Woody, her and I have always had a different view of Woody, because I thought she was funny. I thought he was funny, and she didn't, so that caused
a problem. So what you're trying to tell us then, Pat, is the key to success in the game of flaws is distance.
1,770 miles when I drove it, baby. Just right. Just right. When we drove it now, we might not have gone in a straight line, but it was 1,770 miles.
We haven't talked on air since we lost Pav.
Oh, yeah, it's a sad deal, man. Sad deal. A guy, you certainly had more experiences with than I did covering that team in 1980. My one real experience was, 20 some years ago? I was up on the range and during Super Bowl week, because I used to go up and find, they didn't want any real copy, so I'd go up and find some hockey, some old time hockey guys or something, and write some of those wonderful range columns when the range was still vibrant. And I got a hold of Pavlich before I went up there, through Mom, by the way. Mom gave me his number, and I'd called him up and I talked to him on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I was supposed to see him on Friday, I think, at Lutzen, and go over and talk to him. Now, this is a long time ago, but he was already a hermit. He was already out of circulation. And then he called me Friday night and said he decided he didn't want to do it. So I never got to see him once he stopped playing. He was, the end of his career was weird too. He was a really good NHL player, and then that one year he only played 12 games and said he was going home. So that last year, but he was he got 5 goals in a game, for God's sakes.
Am I off base? How do I say this? Well, I'll just say it. I'm hoping that the work they do on his brain does discover CTE. Does that make sense? In other words, then the family has an answer. They have an answer for his behavior.
Yes. Yeah, all right. That's all right. The guys who played with him, I got some great emails after I wrote about him from guys who played with him, including one guy said he was the best youth hockey player, high school player he'd seen in the range. He said, I was playing with him when he made Broughton cry. They were playing in like an 11-year-old tournament and against Rosso, and, you know, that was kind of a big thing in the north, an 11-12-year-old tournament, and Pavlich was named the MVP of the tournament. It upset Neil, according to this guy. The 10-year-old Neil cried because he didn't win the MVP. Now I don't want him. I don't know if that's true or not, but he said that Pavlich was, you know, was and the guy also said starting at age 6. Pavlich would come over, wake him up, and they'd have to skate the pond. They'd have to skate the lake, you know. They'd go out at that early in the morning, and they'd go out and skate the lake in the morning at 6, 7 years old. So he was dedicated. Now, we got a problem. I had always heard the story that it was Ron Duguay and Carol Ault in the matching fur coats when they came out the player's entrance. Well, she ended up marrying Ron Greschner.
Right.
And when you look back on it, she says that Duguay introduced her to Greschner and admits that they dated a couple, that her and Duguay dated a few times, but she ended up marrying Greschner. Mm-hmm. And so now the debate became... And Duguay was a guy you knew was like a fur coat guy, right? Fur coats and limos. And I don't think Greschner was one of those guys. So, but the story that I'd always heard was that Ron Duguay and Carol Ault would come out in their mink coats and all the flashing lights and the cameras and the fans out there outside the player's entrance at the Garden. And then this guy would sneak out behind him in his Elvis Letterman's jacket, the same jacket in which he'd cleaned fish and, you know, plucked grouse and shot deer and stuff like that. But he would do that intentionally because he knew that he would then get no attention because everybody was looking at Duguay and Carol Ault. But I think you heard a different story from Herbie that Duguay would have some young ladies waiting for him in the limo.
I heard a variety of these, but the everlasting one was that was the opposite of Pavlich's.
Pavlich, yes. Yeah. Duguay, and I think we can settle on the fact that they were teammates, but they had different lifestyles.
Yes, very smart.
Yeah, Duguay, and it is. There are a few supermodels, actresses, etc., who really like hockey players. Carol Ault was one of them, and this the actress Alicia Cuthbert. She's had several hockey player boyfriends, and I think she has a hockey player. I think she has a hockey player husband. So good for them. Both sides. I think it's a great deal for both sides in that situation.
Well, God bless Pavlich. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Dion Phaneuf is the husband of Alicia Cuthbert. Of course, I had to investigate her for purposes of the show.
That's research.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And the one lady who really had an interesting dating history with hockey players was Kournikova.
Yes.
Because she was dating Fedorov and then married Bure, or she was dating Bure and then married the Russians. Anyway, that great Russian line, Bure, Fedorov, and can't remember who the third guy was later on, but they got broken up by Anna Kournikova, from what I understand. The friendship hit the skids because I think I can't remember who moved in on the other guy with Anna, but one of them, either Bure or Federer.
She helped the U.S. win the gold medal. She broke up the Russian hockey team.
No, that was later on. The Federer Bure guys were later on. They were playing together at when I covered the Goodwill games out in Seattle. So that was the early 90s when Ted had his own thing. And one of them, one of the members of the line, I think Federoff defected while it was going on. They were eastern Washington. One of them defected. I can't remember which one. So, anywho.
Can we return to golf for a moment? Because the Players are coming up, which is a wonderful tournament.
First of all, let's express our sympathies for Lee Westwood choking away his last chance to win a big tournament.
Well, God, did he really
watch it?
Pat, he lost by a stroke.
Yes, but were you watching?
I did. I watched it.
16. DeChambeau is going to make par at best. Mm-hmm. He's got the ball sitting right in the middle of the fairway. Got a 9-iron in his hand.
Yep.
He hit that ugly mutt shot out just on that little peninsula of the green over on the left. It was a horrible, horrible shot. All he's got to do is, hit it in the middle of the green. He's 30 feet. He makes birdie. He ends up tied with him, and he just choked terrible on that one. Missed like a 5-foot putt for the birdie afterwards, 5 or 6-foot putt after that. And, that was his chance to get ahead of that brute, because it is an unfair match, against this guy. He hits it in the thick rough, and it still doesn't make any difference because he's hitting pitching wedge out of it. So.
Well, what's the hole he went for? The par 5, was it number 6? He drove it across that lake.
Yes, that's.
Well, that's like hitting it from Matamidi to the peninsula on White Bear Lake. I mean, that's unheard of.
Yep. I remember playing that hole that goes around the lake. It's kind of a big semicircle.
Yeah.
He took the
whole semi out of the circle.
Yes, I did. I went. And I did. I, too, did try to hit it over the lake. Yeah. Not intentionally, however. Yeah. It was like chunked sideways into the lake a couple of times. I think I played that place 3 times, and why, I will never understand.
And it was, I believe that shot was so precisely analyzed by you when you cut in your mic and you said, hit it in the bleeping water, you bleeping bleep. One of my personal favorite moments of 1500 ESPN.
The one I remember, though, this is early in the Bay Hill years, it was still kind of wild out there. And I hit one in the right trees, which is no big mistake. And I kind of walked over there, and there was a big old snake in there, right around a tree. That was the last time I ever even hit him in the woods. Free drop, baby, because yep. I'm not going over there. Minnesota boys don't like snakes. Nope. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Pat, you know, I have a spring training memory where they had me double up and go cover the tournament that must have preceded Bay Hill. It was at a golf course.
Yep.
Was it like the Florida Open or something? And I still remember Arnold Palmer in his Cadillac in the parking lot of this place. It was a golf course, I think, by the airport.
It was. I went to that golf. I can't remember what the name of it was. It wasn't much of a golf course, but they had a tournament there. I went there once too, and before it moved to Bay Hill. So that's got to be mid 70s at the latest, right? When you did that?
Oh God, yes.
I can't remember what the hell the name of that course was, but it was a pretty mediocre golf course. But that was also in the days when, if you had a tournament, everybody played in it. Yeah. You had in Florida like that, you had the 20 best players in the world were there.
I'll tell you how long ago it was. The Orlando airport was about the size of the downtown St. Paul airport.
Oh, yeah. You used to get your bags outside.
Yeah.
Remember that? You used to get your bags outside.
Wow.
And they had one conveyor, Chris, and you'd stand out there with everybody else and get your bags outside.
Reavers, the terminal was about what the downtown St. Paul airport is right now.
So obviously, was this before? Because Disney World was there.
Disney
World
out.
Had just got on the radar screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think 73. I think I looked it up. 73, I think, is when it started. And then my first year down there was 74, so 72. I remember, however, being stretched to come up with the $8 for adults and $6 for kids to get into Disney World.
Yep.
Do you know what it is currently? Because
probably 100 and a quarter, maybe.
Well, because we're doing some traveling for spring break, and we had looked at prices, and we're going to California. But the prices, first of all, they're not even opening the parks until April 1st. It's $138 for my 6-year-old.
Whoa!
Yes.
Just to get in the gate. That doesn't count rides.
I'd lock up the Leland and put my arm around him and said, "Buddy, you're never going to see Disney World. You might as well just realize that now. Stop talking about it."
Or I can just tell him, "Hey, listen, the parks are closed, buddy. The governor was not opening up anything here. I don't know what we're going to do."
God. If that isn't the governor's decision down here, I can tell you that. It's got to be Disney's decision. Because
I had the kid who had to have the picture taken with Donald Duck. And so looking all over the damn place for Donald Duck, and I've been taking pictures. And all of a sudden, here comes Donald, and you run over to him. The kids run over to him, and Donald puts his arms around him. Everybody's taking their photographs, and I had no film left. I went, "Oh, my God."
Yeah, and that
I had to run to one of those kiosks and buy some film, and then we had to start following Donald around again.
Were you ever reminded of that during your long marriage?
You know,
the time you didn't have the film.
I initially heard about that. Yeah.
Yes. After 20, 30 years, it went by the wayside.
It went away. It's gone.
It went down the totem pole as far as of infractions.
Well, it's been replaced by much better flaws, believe me.
Yeah. 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 That was, that's so long ago. Yeah. Poor Donald, man, with cell phones. He must just be worked to a frazzle.
He's not making enough.
He can't take a step without some jackass saying, "Hey, take a picture."
What they do now, we went to a theme park a couple of years ago. They're not allowed to stop. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, my oldest wanted to get a picture with one of the stormtroopers, and he said, "We gotta keep moving, but he can take a picture." So I have to time it. You know, we're William's staying in there, and I could time it where the stormtroopers in the background, but they're not allowed to stop because that very thing happens now.
Well, we went out there annually when the kids weren't very, 74, 5, 6, 7 probably. And I always loved the idea that you'd get at 8 o'clock in the morning, you'd get off these trolleys, and everybody would be giddy and happy, and the kids were all bubbly. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the husband was screaming at the wife. The wife was screaming at the husband. The kids were crying. Greg, completely brats, screaming, "We didn't get to do this or that or anything." But see, they had a caste system when Joe and I were going to Reavers, because you had A tickets, B tickets, C tickets, and D tickets.
Okay.
And your price was like, okay, you can get in for $8, but if you want 8 tickets, then you got that's going to cost you $12 or $14 or something. I mean, I don't know how many tickets you think you got, Juice. So it's like 12, and you might have 3 apiece. So if the D ticket was there, it was like, okay, you can stand over here.
That's when we got the damn tickets to that 20 Leagues Under the Sea ride, and I swore the thing was going underwater, and I had a panic attack and demanded that it surface so I could get out. Let me out of this boat!
Oh, my God.
That one I remember is my first time on Space Mountain. because it's dark in there.
Yeah, you know? I don't like that.
I can't handle a roller coaster real well.
No.
In the broad daylight.
Right.
But outside, I did not approve of that. I'll tell you that. Space Mountain. That was later. They built that thing later, though. That wasn't there.
I can't go in the Tunnel of Love at the fair. I lose it. It's too frightening.
Not me. I'm an anti-Ferris wheel guy, man. That's my problem. Yeah. I don't like the hype part of this.
Oh, wait. We got to add that to the Royce list. Things he doesn't
Ferris
like.
Ferris wheels.
All right.
No, I've told you guys that I take the kids. They might have been 6 and 9 then.
Yeah.
On the double Ferris wheel.
Yep.
You know, 6 or 7. And we're up at top.
Oh.
And it stopped. And I'm horrified. And they start rocking.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh,
and I'm saying, you little SOB bleeping little, you're both going over the frickin' side if you don't sit here perfectly still like you're in church.
Right.
Don't make a move. Don't breathe. You're going out of here, man.
Yep.
Stop rocking.
I could not take the Ferris wheel, and I got on a double one. I didn't like the one they had in Folda that went up about 8 feet in the air when they had the Folda Fair. You know, I'm not real big on that stuff.
Oh God!
You always do have to love the county fair rides, you know, that are slapped together in about 6 minutes. Ah, kid, these
you know
are
safe. You know they're safe too.
Right. Jesus. Let's get on there, kid. You'll be all right.
It's unbelievable. Oh God. You know what? It's kind of sad what's happened to the Minnesota State Fair because that was the big deal.
Oh, hell yes.
The Midway, that was the big deal. Now it's a food fest that just occasionally, you know, you can somebody will go over and take a ride once in a while, but
Remember the year that one ride kept breaking down and we would predict every day what time the chair swing or whatever it was would break down every day? People be dangling their feet in the
we got the Rook to do what, Joe? We got him to do the one
slingshot.
Kind of the ejector sheet.
Oh.
Yeah, that was we had that one. You know, at my bulkiest, I wouldn't have trusted being in one of those things. You know, what if it gets overly strained? Then what happens?
Band snaps.
Yeah, boom. There. What is that object?
I am still traveling.
There's a meteor coming. That's God Almighty. There's a sweaty meteor coming.
Oh, my God.
Unreal. I made a couple of notes today. Oh, hey. So I went off a beaten path, and I was looking up. I was trying to look up when Sid started worrying about the shut-ins to get us to build stadiums, right?
He was always pretty concerned about the shut-ins.
He was the shut-ins, and I'm trying to figure out. So I texted Mona. And he basically said the shut-in started when Sid wanted to build the Metrodome. You know, but pretty much that's when we started worrying about the shut-ins because we were going to lose the Twins and the Vikings and the shut-ins wouldn't have anything to watch, right? Mm-hmm. So did you ever remember when the Vikings, you know, we all remember L.A., Lynn going to L.A., Lynn going to Memphis, Lynn going to Phoenix. Did you ever remember him? His plot to when he went out to New York to meet with the guy who was going to have them play in Yankee Stadium.
Boy, you remember that one? Bell. No.
1970. There's actually there was a New York Times story written by Murray Chass, of all people, baseball writer, and then Sid had a big follow up on it too. 1977, sort of the head of their city, something or other. He wanted to get a team in Yankee Stadium because the Giants, I guess, had moved out to the original Giant Stadium by then, right? So they'd moved out of the city. So he wanted to have a team in New York, and Lynn, of course, was willing to go along with the idea that this was a viable possibility for the Vikings in order to get a stadium built. But I had no recollection of the Lynn circuit to find a place to threaten us into building this new stadium was included Yankee Stadium. I hadn't seen that one before, which was weird.
Sid really played that shut-in card a lot.
Oh, God. You know when the shut-ins were at their worst? Hmm. When the Twins moved to KSTP in 2007 for 2006, the shut-ins were going to be. And, you know, he was probably right because the shut-ins had never had their radio on any other station.
But I always had the bad cartoon bubble of the shut-ins.
Yes.
They were the down and out of the down and out.
Yes, they were. But the shut-ins, I was trying to come up with the number of millions we've spent for stadiums to take care of the shut-ins so they'd have something to watch on TV, right? We had Target Center and we had the U.S. Bank, not Target Center so much, but Target Field, U.S. Bank Stadium, maybe even the Gopher Stadium.
Well, XL, but I decided, what about the XL?
Yeah, but no, that the shut-ins wouldn't watch because it was in St. Paul.
Oh, okay, I got you,
yeah,
okay.
Because, you know, Sid's campaign was the people from the West suburbs will never go to St. Paul for a hockey game, right? And they were going to be, 3 years later, they're going to be back in Minneapolis.
Oh, hell, he called St. Paul East Berlin. Remember that?
East Berlin, yes. Yeah. But the one thing I figured out is we can't include the soccer stadium because the shut-ins didn't watch soccer either. They didn't watch soccer. So. He will be 101 on Monday, and I'm not convinced he won't show up.
So.
The pandemic cost Sid, we're talking about the day everything shut down. Mm-hmm. That cost Sid his 100th
his birthday party.
I think they pulled the plug on like late Friday, and it was supposed to be on Sunday. I think the birthday party was supposed to be on Sunday. So, or on Monday. So he never got his birthday party. So, not that he really wanted to be celebrated anyway.
No, not at all. No.
Anyway.
Oh, hey, a little bit of Viking news. Patrick, okay. I know you'll find this shocking, but Zimmer cut Dan Bailey. We're going to have a new kicker in 2021.
Oh, really? Was he making too much money?
Yeah, according to Tom Presso, he was due $2.75 million. His $1.8 would have become fully guaranteed. He's a free agent. That saves Vikings almost $2 million in cap space.
So they can go get a, then they can, let's find someone. Like let's draft someone, right?
Right.
That's a hot, and then have him miss one and have Zim cut him again, and then have the guy turn out to be the all star. NFL's leading scorer, Joe, he cut him after two games.
Yep.
The guy that was the NFL's leading scorer.
This is Zim's season, isn't it? He either makes it happen this season or that's it.
Yeah, he's on probation. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, both of them, him and Spielman, I bet, are going to be out if they don't make it.
Well, boy, you better write your piece.
Well, I actually am just here slumming today. So I got a couple of other things to do. But, I'm just here watching the ball game today, having a good old time. So.
Wonderful. All right.
And I think the Twins win at 1-0, right,
Reed? Yes, 1-0 was the final over the Baltimore Orioles. By the way, really quick, I was looking up, Pat, the over-unders because I wanted to see Baltimore's was 63.5. Boys, that's not the worst odds in Major League Baseball. You want to stand to guess who has the worst over-under? The Pittsburgh Pirates have an over-under of wins set at 58.5.
Wow. Yeah, they're dedicated to being rotten.
Wow, I did not realize. I mean, I knew they were bad. I didn't realize they were going to be that bad this year because they didn't.
You know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore have that great football rivalry. Now they got a baseball rivalry. Who can stink the worst?
Who's going to get the number one pick?
They both got the great parks. Oh, geez.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's park is beautiful.
Yes, okay. All right, gents.
All right.
The Tuesday edition of Monday Night Sports Talk, but the early report on Opal is it works.
Absolutely.
Opal was a success.
All right. Where's the Rook, by the way? He took today off.
Well, usually he's only in on Monday.
Yeah.
He's out jamming people into airplanes coming down here. Okay, that's good. Yes. All right.
All right.
See ya.
See you later.
Okay.
Did you know that the sewer line that runs from your house underneath your front yard is your responsibility until it connects to the city sewer? Your sewer line can get clogged by tree roots, or it can crack or break or collapse because it's old or the ground shifts over time. If your sewer line gets really clogged, it can cause sewage to back up into your home. You do not want that. If you have a sewer or drain problem, better call Bonfi. Save $150 off an intensive sewer line cleaning when you tell the folks at Bonfi Royce sent you.
I have been a client of the Canopy Group for 5 years, and at my last renewal, they are still saving me money. Patrick Ricey here to talk to you about your home and auto insurance. How long have you been with your current insurance company? When was the last time your agent called you and said they could save you money and get you better coverage? This just happened to me. Truly, it did. Each year, the Canopy Group reviews my home and auto insurance with their 16 companies. This year, they saved me an additional $790. How? Because the Canopy Group is keeping an eye on my insurance needs and making sure I am always with the right insurance provider. Paying less and getting more is a concept I like. I can't promise that you'll save $791, but I can promise you they'll give you options. They'll even tell you if you should stay where you are with that company. Do what I did and contact them at thecanopygroup.com. That's thecanopygroup.com.
It's that time once again here in Garage Logic where we check in with our guy, Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And GLers, do yourself a favor and contact Mr. Money Talk today for that free 48-minute financial consultation. And you can do so by calling 952-925-5608. When you call that number, you're going to get Josh with straight talk, never sugar-coated advice. And Josh is on the line with us right now. And Josh, you want to talk rebound right now, don't
rebound.
You?
Rebound. No, we're not talking about Dennis Rodman type, but we are talking about NASDAQ, which has been slaughtered over the last 3 weeks since the February 12th high in the NASDAQ. NASDAQ shares have continued to fall on worries about the 10-year Treasury jumping up to where it was a year ago, 1.5%. The 10-year Treasury is going up, which to many symbolizes that high-flying companies have less of a chance against the guaranteed 10-year Treasury in terms of future earnings growth going forward. Some of the cyber optic companies, internet-related companies, are trading at absurd price-to-sales multiples, and those multiples are justified as if they were dot-com stock. Those people who were plowing money into these way overextended names, they were probably due for a little bit of a pullback, and they may not yet achieve their past highs until they start showing a lot more revenue growth as well as some earnings. Some of these cloud names can be limited, particularly with competition coming to the fore. That does provide a modicum of caution when a company reaches a certain level of price to sales, very excessive. Watch out and be very, very careful. That typically is a time to take some profits. Today, many of those companies that had been knocked down on worries about interest rates have had a little bit of a comeback. And probably the best example of that is a mutual fund, ARK Innovation Fund, that invests in a lot of the newer technology names, even if they invest a small bit. Because this particular fund has done exceptionally well over the last 5 years, not, of course, on a straight line, plenty of volatility with that. Many investors, without doing a lot of research, shortcutting and going just with the portfolio manager, Kathy Wood's recommendations as she posts buys and sells on a daily basis. Just a word of caution on many of the high-flying names. But today, they had a rebound, and I was especially happy that my stocks, Apple and Amazon, also had a pretty good rebound. They've been a source of funds for other investments recently, and questions have come out about their future growth, particularly as the economy reopens. My answer is yes, Apple and Amazon and several others got a boost with COVID. but they are at the forefront of a trend that has been ongoing, will continue with that trend going going forward. The risk with both Apple and Amazon and other larger capitalization companies is the fact that they are big, and the politicians do see the amount of money that these companies generate, and they want some of that money. So there is some risk on that level. But it's a very nice rebound that we're having today.
Very good. And GLers, once again, get in touch with Josh for that free 48-minute financial consultation. Do yourself a favor and give him a call today at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Josh, thanks once again for the time and the chat, and we'll talk to you again on Thursday.
Okay, Chris. Thank you.
Investment advisor services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a registered advisor in the state of Minnesota. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments in risk.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.